Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, what are you working on there? Sudoku? Mad Libs? Spirograph?
No, Patrick. I'm just working with some geography calculations I've made based on some information I put together about one of our listeners.
Mind if I take a look?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, let's see. Yes. Okay. Wow. Jim, if your calculations are correct, then
we know where the Falcon's Nest is. All right, day three of this particular week of 2019 calls, and Nick here has been hanging out all week.
Yeah, it's been sweet.
See, we got the bed roll set up right over there. Yeah,
It's like Shadow was sleeping in there with you.
With you,
Nick.
Yeah.
Keep you warm.
My face was licked. That was my alarm clock.
It was only a one dog night. Yeah, it wasn't that cold.
I just heard him, so he was excited about that. All right. This show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us all week is...
Nick Scalera.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
And we've been going through the last of these calls from listeners telling us about their favorite music of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to just do two calls.
Okay.
All right?
Sure.
So let's get right to it here.
Hi, Jim and Patrick. This is Walt Falconer calling you from the Falcon's Nest. And I wanted to give you my number one album of 2019. And that is Tom Russell, October and the Railroad Earth. Now, I just received this vinyl in the mail today. It's been available on Spotify and on CD for several months now. But the vinyl was just available today, so arrived courtesy of Amazon. And it's just a really great record. The vinyl sounds much better than the Spotify does, and just the quality of it and the lyrics come through, and the just the pure passion that Tom Russell brings to every song really, really is embodied in this in the vinyl, much more so than the CD or even Spotify. But October and the Railroad Earth includes several really great songs, and if you're not familiar with Tom Russell, he really gives a history lesson in a three-minute song. One of those is a song called Red Oak, Texas. Red Oak, Texas is a song about two brothers who went to war in World War I and never returned. And Red Oak, Texas has a monument to these brave soldiers that Robert Graves, the poet who coined the phrase "war is hell," memorialized. And it's just a really moving song, and anytime I go from my secret parts unknown Falcon's Nest to Dallas, I stop in Red Oak, Texas. So it's a nice it's a nice reminder of that. And several other songs, including Highway 46, which memorializes Spade Cooley, who is really not a good dude, so you really shouldn't want to memorialize that guy, but it's a good song nonetheless. Another great song is called Small Engine Repair, where, believe it or not, he sings the joys of being in your backyard shed just fixing lawnmowers, which doesn't sound like an exciting song, and it's really not, but it really hits home about some of the simple things in life that are sometimes the best. There's another one called Back Streets of Love that's really, the title says it all on that one, but just about every song on that is really great. One of the bones I have to pick with Tom, and I'm going to bring it up when I see him in concert in May, is that he neglected to put on the vinyl a song called T-Bone Steak and Spanish Wine. Now that song, it was on the Spotify version, but he didn't include it in the vinyl. And I don't know why, because it's a great song. In fact, it was the number one Falcon's Nest song for 2019. And the song talks about Tom Russell being on a stint, concert stint, around California, where I may or may not be from, that he happens to stop by now some 30 years since he's been there the last time, and there's a sign in the front of the bar that says T-bone steak and Spanish wine $20, and he goes in there and he has a T-bone steak and Spanish wine, and he talks to the waitress there, who recognizes him from years gone by, and they have a conversation, and eventually he goes in and gets his guitar and he plays a couple songs, and it's a really good song, and it really, you know, talks about times gone by that really hits home. But again, for some reason, it was on the CD version, it was on the Spotify version, and I'm looking 20 times, and I don't see it at all on this version here that I got on the vinyl today. But damn, it's still a great album, so I would still call it the number one album. So I'm going to stop there as far as the updates go. I'll send an email about some further things that I like. But before I go, I wanted to give, first of all, a shout-out to my boy, Intern Sam. The Falcon's Nest is a big house of Intern Sam. We really like him. So, bring him on your show more often. Anyway, thank you guys for putting up the content that you do every day. I really enjoy it. I follow it. And I will send you an update on email of other great albums that I've seen and listened to in 2019. But keep up the good work, and I will talk to you and write to you soon. Ciao.
Okay, that was quite a call.
That was amazing. I am super intrigued about this now.
What?
Where is the Falcon's Nest? Because he tried to give us a clue. He threw us off one way by saying Dallas, Texas.
Right.
Then he mentioned California, where he may or may not live.
Right.
So I am really interested in finding out this, Walt. And he is just teasing us along very slowly.
So for listeners who aren't familiar with this, we did some shows at our friend Greg Wilson's tiki bar that he has on his property. It's like an outbuilding there. And then Walt apparently has his own bar set up at home or whatever that he calls the Falcon's Nest.
That's right.
Right. So that's what all this is. And you can hear the music in the background. I assume that's where he was recording from. And I just got to say, I find it a little bit incongruous that he's talking about, you know, brothers dying in World War One while Party All the Time is playing in the background, right?
Yeah.
So there's that.
And Intern Sam is huge there.
Yes. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
We like that.
Interesting story. And we were talking about this with Nick as well at an episode you'll hear at some point. The amount of songs that get onto a vinyl record versus what's on a CD or on a playlist.
Right.
And I think most of the time those decisions are purely for the fact that you can only fit X amount of music on a vinyl record before the grooves get so compressed that it starts to sound like crap. So you really do, for fidelity reasons, have to have a certain amount. And we heard Walt say the vinyl sounds way better than the digital version that he's been listening to. So I think that's probably why. But it sounds like T-Bone Steak and Spanish Wine is a great track that didn't make the cut.
So in general, I don't know how much we want to get into this. In general, about how much time can you get in on a 33 and a third LP? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Because I looked it up, this album with that song on Spotify comes in at 45 minutes. So I would have thought that would be okay, but maybe not. That might be
should be
a little bit too long. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Is that the song you want to hear from Tom Russell? I think he said it was like the biggest song in the Falcon's Nest.
Yeah,
right?
It sounds like it's number one on the playlist.
All right. T-Bone Steak and Spanish Wine by Tom Russell.
I took a detour off a California run, searching for a joint I'd played back in 1981. Up a rugged canyon, there's that steakhouse, there's the bar, where I played three sets a night with my old Martin guitar. The owner, she smiled and said, it's been a long, long time. How you doing, cowboy? I said, well, I guess I'm doing fine. I saw that special out on your chalkboard sign. Same old T-bone steak and a glass of Spanish wine. She smiled and said, hell, not much is new. Sit on down here and I'll take a glass with you. The canyon's been torn apart by wildfires now. We cater to a mostly older, retired crowd. The music ain't like what it used to be, when you could tear our hearts out in any song, in any key. Now it's all just background noise to me.
All right.
The T-bone. That's pretty powerful stuff. Yeah,
totally. Lots to unpack there. Really nice.
Are you familiar with Tom Russell?
Not very much, no.
So I'm not really either, but just reading his bio right now, apparently he was on Letterman 5 times or something like that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He's, you know, worked with a lot of impressive people as well, and this sounds like an artist I need to get to know better. All right, I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Excellent.
I'm going to dig into that album later.
Okay.
And thanks again, Walt, for calling. All right, let's go on to the next call here.
Hey, this is Michael calling from Washington, D.C., home of the world champion Washington Nationals and no U.S. Senators. I wanted to quickly get in a couple of references to 2019 releases that I felt your listeners should be aware of, even if they didn't get featured over the course of the year and maybe were a little below the radar for some folks. First record I want to mention, and it's not on Spotify because the artist chose not to put it on Spotify, is the Pernice Brothers' first record in many years. Joe Pernice and his brother Bob and his bandmates and collaborators put out Spread the Feeling, the first Pernice Brothers record, in I think 7 or 8 years. He's been very busy under other recording activities, but this is the first Pernice Brothers record. And he was joined by many of his friends and admirers, including Nico Case on the song The Devil and the Jinn, where Jinn is the Arabic supernatural entity, not the alcoholic beverage made of juniper berries. So The Devil and the Jinn, great showcase for Joe Pernice's songwriting and for the harmonies between him and Nico. It's a great pick. Not on Spotify, but well worth seeking out. Aldous Harding from New Zealand has been mentioned by Nick Scalera on his Flying Nun discussions in the past. She put out a really interesting, really challenging record in 2019. I had seen her a couple times in 2017 or 2018, and it was sort of a gothic folk kind of material. And she's broadening her stylistic palette and doing some very innovative things with her songwriting, her composition, and her vocal approach, kind of indebted to the Anglo-Scots folk tradition, but taking it in very artistic, gothic, innovative kind of ways, and well worth checking out. From Norway, although not with a Norwegian accent, is Elva. Elva is the duo of Elizabeth Morris, who is Australian, was the songwriter for Allo Darlin', and I love their music very much. Sort of a twee pop kind of sound. They put out about 4 records. And on tour, Elizabeth Morris met a man from Norway whom she fell in love with and married and moved to Norway and made a duet with him called Elva, E-L-V-A. And they put out a record in 2019 called Winter Sun, very Scandinavian kind of imagery. And it's a very sweet, chiming, country folk kind of record with Elizabeth Morris's unmistakable Australian twang and the singing. It's a quietly delightful little record. In the American side, Eric Johnson, Fruit Bat, saw him and his band at the Pearl Street Warehouse in Washington. Really wonderful show. I do hardly recommend the new record, Gold Path to Life. It's got a superficially very sunny sound, although there's actually kind of an undercurrent of sadness to a lot of the lyrics. I think it reflects some personal challenges that he had to overcome over the last couple of years, but it's a fantastic listen. Really good songwriting and excellent guitar work throughout. Lower Dems, a band from originally associated with Baltimore, although not as recently. Front person is Jana Hunter. A number of years back, I had seen Lower Dems and Jana Hunter performing a couple times separately and as a band in Washington. Their newest record, 2019's The Competition, takes their sound in a very different direction. There is a lot of electronic undercurrents to the music, some seemingly influenced by New Order, Roxy Music, kind of 1980s stuff. And the record has a lot of themes about the allure of romantic and sexual connection, the danger of urban violence, and a lot about Jana Hunter's personal transition, now using male pronouns and they-them pronouns. So there's a lot about sort of a queer transition theme in the record as well. And Lower Dems' Competition is a very compelling, challenging listen. The song I was thinking of is called I Drive. But the record's all very interesting. It's not an easy listen in some regards, but it's a very compelling one. And finally, a person who didn't put out a full length in 2019. She lost her record label, but is back on a label for 2020 and will be touring again, is Mackenzie Scott, who records under the name Torres. She's put out three records so far. In 2019, she put out a number of internet-only singles, including a song called Gracious Day, which is a really sweet, tender song that opens with a voicemail from her girlfriend partner. And it really is a showcase for her fantastic singing and as well for her impressive compositional style. I think Torres is a really interesting, compelling songwriter, originally a very southern kind of indie folk kind of music. And she's broadened her stylistic palette quite a bit, and Gracious Day is a good illustration of that.
Okay, the call just got cut off there, and he didn't call back for a third one, so there you go. Thank you to Michael from Washington, D.C.
Thank you very much, man. We got some smart listeners who have very eclectic tastes and really an eclectic list right there. It sounds all very interesting, and only have heard a couple of those things there. So,
is there anything you want to hear from what he mentioned?
Well, personally, you know, I like Lower Dens a lot. I've seen them play in D.C. a couple times. I wrote about them once. I didn't check this record out too much this year, although I will say my offspring, MJ, is a big fan of Lower Dens. And obviously, I don't know if you guys like Pernice Brothers, man. I really like Joe Pernice a lot. I think he's a really good songwriter. He's written a book. He wrote a fantastic, you know, I think the 33 and the third books, the little ones about albums, are very inconsistent, but if you can read his on Meat is Murder, he did it in a whole fictional style, but it is fantastic. So he's a very literary writer with a great hook, sense of hooks, and it's cool that he put a record out as the Pernice Brothers this year. I always, you know, used to go see them and listen to them a lot, so it's cool that he put something out.
All right. Well, it sounds like that one's kind of hard to find, that music. So let's go with the Lower Dens.
Yep.
He didn't mention a specific song.
Yes, right? He mentioned the song I Drive, believe. Yeah.
All right, sorry about that. Here we go.
No worries.
I Drive. All right, there you go. Very cool.
That's great stuff. And, well, I got two things to say about this. Number one, thanks to Mike for turning me on to the lower dens, because that's awesome. And secondly, my plan to slowly turn every person on Earth into an Aldous Harding fan one by one is happening. So welcome to the bizarre world of Aldous Harding. But that Lower Dens was fantastic. I'm definitely going to be diving into that.
It's good stuff, and definitely great to hear Nick get name checked on the Aldous Harding.
Yes,
that's
how about
cool.
That?
That was great.
Yeah, she's something else, folks. You know, and if you get a chance to see it live, that's the way to experience it.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. I have said enough about it. But one thing I will say is, and I don't know if Mike was at any of these DC shows, but there's a place in DC called DC9, which is a very small club, about a couple hundred people.
Love it.
But there's no backstage area. The only way to get to the stage is to walk from the bar area through the crowd to the stage.
Right.
And Aldous Harding, who's all of about 5'3", when she walked from the back of the room through the crowd to the stage, I'd never heard a play so quiet in my life. And I think that's weird sort of stage presence she has. And DC crowds can be kind of bro-y and shouty, like you could hear a pin drop in that crowd.
That's
and
amazing.
She is an artist that commands a ton of attention, and it definitely is worth your time. It's a phenomenon.
I want to play one thing that Michael mentioned here, because it was one of my favorite albums of the last year, which was that Fruit Bats album.
Oh, yeah.
Gold Past Life. Have you guys listened to that?
A little bit.
It is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the song I would like to hear from that is called Drawn Away.
People forget that they may not have even known that the Fruit Bats have been around for almost 20 years or more. It's amazing.
Yeah.
They've been just out there doing their thing, which I think is so cool.
I love that. It feels sort of Beach Boys-ish, you know?
Totally, man.
And just great stuff. All right. Let's see. Where are we here for tomorrow? We're down to the last three.
Wow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
It's like that
final countdown.
Yeah. It's like that moment when you know you got to pack up the holiday decorations and... You don't want to do it because it's a little sad, but you do it. But then you feel great because you got it done, and that's kind of where I am.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. I didn't take my Halloween decorations down, so I better get on that.
The mixtape, by the way, should be out by Halloween, right?
That's what we're thinking. Yeah, conservatively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cautiously optimistic we'll get it done by Halloween.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Again, thanks to Walt. Thanks to Michael. Thanks for the shout out on the Nationals. There.
Totally.
That was nice to hear as well.
Got to rep DC.
Yep. Okay. Let's get to tomorrow's callers. And then on Friday, we're going to make our picks
for
some of our favorite stuff.
I'm real excited.
2019. Yep. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Nick Scalera.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. It's the greatest
That's like Tiki Valhalla. Have you ever gone to an event and never wanted it to end? This was like that.